I'm Kristen Yamas, spelled like the animal llamas, and I'm the creator of the Llamas Art Show, author of the book Como Te Llamas, Everyday Llamas You Might Know, and a full-time fine artist. My vision is to celebrate beauty, community, and mindfulness through paint, words, and natural elements from the world around us. Here, guests from all walks of life share their beautiful experiences on this earth, and I'll even share some of my own. I believe that humans all over the globe are connected to one another. Together, we make up one herd that deserves to be heard. I hope this podcast inspires you in every area of your life through love, appreciation, and connection to the incredible stories shared in each episode. In order to connect more deeply with you all, we have also created a Facebook group called One Herd with Kristen Yamas, where I invite everyone to connect and share their own stories, successes, fears, and inspirations. I encourage you to interact with and support one another in that space, and maybe even be featured to share your story on the show. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy. Together we make up one herd that deserves to be heard. Okay, so here goes nothing.
In a world where everyone has a podcast.
No, that is not the intro.
I thought you wanted an intro that was dramatic.
Go.
From her art studios.
All right, this is Kristen Yamas coming to you from my art studio in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi there. If you're a parent of school-age children, you're probably right there with me, holding your breath to see what the education system looks like in the fall. With the COVID-19 school closures, we suddenly found ourselves juggling a full 9 weeks of at-home education in some form or another. And I can personally say that my appreciation for teachers grew exponentially during this time. I quickly realized that while I don't want our kids to fall behind, I don't always know how to help them. So this conversation takes us back to the question, are we smarter than a fifth grader? I can guarantee you that I have forgotten more than I remember from elementary school. Do you know how to interpret a line plot? Or how about using an area model for fractions? I know I'm terrible at math, but this is elementary school math. I should know this, right? But trying to become a full-time guide for my kindergarten, fourth grade, and sixth grade daughters was a huge wake-up call. So, I could not be more excited about my guest today, who has created a company where the goal is to empower parents in their children's education. Not only does he discuss the importance of speaking in the same language as our children's teachers, but he actually gives us the resources to do so. We're essentially talking about tutoring, but for parents. Dr. Jim Sweck has more than a decade of experience in the classroom, earning advanced degrees in educational leadership as well as small business and startup experience dating back to the late 90s. Jim is responsible for leading the Cohesion Education team through the development and growth of the business as they establish themselves in the online educational support marketplace nationwide. So the timing for this conversation could not be better. And I really hope that you enjoy our talk and at the end, feel empowered. This episode is powered by Voxite.com. If you are a medium to large business looking for custom web design with personalized service, visit Voxite.com, bringing businesses and brands to life on the web. My online art portfolio, print shop, and this podcast website was all designed by Voxite, so head over and check them out at voxite.com. Jim, thank you so much for meeting with me today here virtually.
Oh, thank you, Kristen. I'm glad to be here.
So I always ask the same question in the beginning of all of my interviews. I ask, Como te llamas, what is your name and where did that name come from? Do you identify with that name? Tell me a little bit about your story.
Okay. Me llamo Jim Sweck. I like that you threw in the doctor there because no one ever calls me doctor. No one in my family calls me doctor. I barely hear it at the office, so it's kind of cool to hear it every once in a while that all that work was worth it. My name's Jim from my dad. My dad was a Jim as well, a James. I was a Jimmy as a kid, and as an adult, I just stole my dad's name and stayed with the gym. That name has been in my family. We passed it down to my son. My son's middle name is James as well. So that name seems to flow nicely through the Sweck family. Sweck, my last name, is Polish. My dad was adopted actually at birth, and we didn't learn that till we were a little older, and we grew up with the Polish grandparents and pierogies and haluszka and all this cool like Polish stuff and Polish folk tales, you know, from grandma, and just this crazy name with S's and Z's and W's and E's and in all different orders. So having a name like that, you know, constantly I had to tell people how to pronounce it as a kid, even as an adult, as a teacher. When I started teaching, Shrek had just come out. So I used, you know, I said it's kind of like Shrek. They all thought I was like Mr. Shrek. My wife, when she got married, she was Mrs. Shrek as a kindergarten teacher. So it's kind of been a conversation piece ever since I was old enough to speak and people were to ask me my name. It actually means shoemaker in Polish. And incidentally, as a teenager, I had a friend whose last name was Shoemaker. So we would, you know, joke about that and interchange our names every once in a while. I don't speak Polish. My grandma, if she was still with us, she could say it really well, but it was pronounced like Sheft. There's more of a T sound on the end. So it's an interesting last name and one that I definitely identify with, even though I don't have any Polish blood in me. Like I said, my dad was adopted. So it's just been that this really like interesting name that I've obviously grown into and come to love. So
right. It's connected to your father's really adopted family. So did you ever find out what heritage you do come from and your father was?
Maybe you can tell on Zoom, Irish. I'm very light skinned. I get sunburned easily. But that is, you know, a part of a wonderful heritage. It's really was mostly my mom's side for all we knew. And then, you know, doing DNA, Ancestry.com and all that. Mm-hmm. My dad actually has a lot of Irish in him, too. So I'm really more like 75% Irish with the Polish last name and with a little Hungarian thrown in there and Czech. So Eastern Europe, not too far from Poland, but not quite Polish.
It is. It's really interesting that we can find this information out about ourselves now. There's this ongoing kind of back and forth between my own parents, and my dad always said we were Italian. It was like what we were. We're Italian. We're Italian. We're Italian. Uh-huh. And it came from his side. And my mom would chime in and she'd be like, you realize I am more German than you are Italian. So if anything, they're more German than Italian. And to this day, right. It doesn't even matter. To this day, they still have the same argument. And I'm like, guys, there is a way to figure this out now.
No. They're going to stick to their guns.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
No need to do the
they
test.
Won't trust the test anyway. It doesn't matter. Not the right. Italian, at least. They won't trust the test.
Of course.
And we're going to talk about education today, and you're kind of the perfect guest for this because you've developed this entire online educational course that basically it's like tutoring for parents to be able to relate to their kids' education. It's brilliant. So can you tell us a little bit about what started this and why you founded this company?
Oh, absolutely. And as a mom yourself, Kristen, you know that no matter how educated you are, how much schooling you've had yourself, how much you've followed along in your child's education, whether you homeschool them or whether they're in a traditional school, you know, things change and it gets harder, right? My business partner, Greg Cazola, it really was his idea. He was a fourth grade teacher as I was. And for years, parent-teacher conferences, parents came in and they were asking the same question. How can I help? How can I help? How can I help? And for the longest time, we haven't had a whole lot of options for them other than traditionally tutoring, right? More recently, there's a lot more online offerings. So we can, as teachers, can direct them to online options, you know, practice things. Usually it's more for the kids though, not the parent. So when Greg and I started talking and started developing this idea for Cohesion Education, which is the name of the company, we decided that, you know, we really wanted to make a product that was going to benefit kids, but it was really designed for parents and really empowering parents to be able to bring that content into their home, onto their phones, onto their computers, so that they're speaking the same language as their teacher, their child's teachers are.
Right.
Fast forward 3 years.
Yeah.
And we're here in a day and time when it might not look as traditional as it once was. And that message, your kids might not be receiving it directly from a teacher. So having a set of teachers, kindergarten through fifth grade, through our video library, we have about 600 videos. You have those teachers at home with you. You know, you can watch the videos, stop, start, play, pause. They're teaching the content based on the standards that are approved by the state. No matter what state you live in, we try to make sure that each of the concepts kind of covered all of those different areas, whether you live in Texas or Nashville, Tennessee, or Tampa, Florida. So we're really excited about it.
Where were you actually doing those recordings? Did you have a studio with a green room and everything?
We have a couple of great stories behind that. We had the ability to use our incubator. We were part of our business incubator, and they were wonderful for letting us, but we could only do it like at nighttime when business was closed, because mics picked up everything, like door shutting, vacuum cleaners. Yeah. Well, then we had vacuum cleaner problems because it was nighttime. So, you know, there was always something. And then we rented a studio, an old recording studio in downtown St. Pete, in one of like the old buildings. And it was perfect. It was beautiful. Ceilings were low. The sound was good. We had nice plain white walls. You know, it was perfect. We could put up our green screen. And then we found out like during the workday, because it was during summer, the office above us that was the short ceiling had old wood floors. So you could hear every single footstep.
Oh, no.
So we shot 300 videos like that. And the post of trying to get that audio clean, not to mention we couldn't run the air conditioner because it was an old air conditioner system. So it would blow like a jet engine into the microphone. Oh, it was a trip.
So everyone was warm.
We were dying in this short, low ceiling room. It was awful.
Right. Well, and as it is, if you're up there doing a presentation, or if you're, you know, just speaking in general, and these were real teachers doing it. So I'm sure they're not, you know, like actors and actresses that would be used to that kind of a thing.
No. Yeah. They're.
It's already uncomfortable.
We had to basically train them to almost be an actor because they had to do things on multiple takes, which they don't have to do in the classroom.
Right.
Yeah, this whole experience we're all experiencing right now with online learning and our teachers either trying to feed assignments to us through e-learning or supporting what is being done at home. Now we have an opportunity to really shine a light on the value of family in learning. And that's, you know, what we're excited about being a part of.
Right. I love that you use the term empowering parents, because, I mean, we all know that show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? And yeah. When my kids came home for the last 2 months of school, so we're facing this entirely new challenge to where we really are the ones sitting down with our kids and realizing there is this gap. There is this gap between maybe how we learned the skills that they have versus if we remember any of it, because I mean, you're talking about like kindergarten, second grade. There are a lot of parents that will flat out tell you, I have absolutely no idea what the kids learn in kindergarten. I know they come home reading a little bit, they write their letters, but the idea of empowering parents and making you feel like you actually understand what your kid is learning is just, it's wonderful. So do you think that this might kind of help close the gap too, on like low-income families, people, you know, raising children who can't necessarily afford tutoring, or even, you know, immigrants who aren't even speaking the same language literally as these teachers?
Well, I have no doubt that common phrase you've heard before, knowledge is power. You know, putting more content in front of parents, whether they are of any different background, any socioeconomic status, as long as, you know, we all are aware that we're dealing with an issue of bandwidth too. You know, not everyone has access internet wise. We are obviously a young company, so we're still growing and looking for ways that we can help with that, which that may be providing our videos through different platforms like television, apps that you can see on TV, things like that. And that's still, we're still at a challenge because, you know, they could have bandwidth issues and Wi-Fi issues. But right now, I can tell you that when we spent a good year really developing what these lessons would look like and the components of the lesson, we wanted to write them in the simplest form possible. So whether it's fifth grade math or kindergarten reading, any one of our lessons, they're all the same format and they're written in a way that we hope anyone can understand. Now we know there is a language barrier, obviously, they're all written in English. We're working on transcribing them and then getting the closed caption option on there. Eventually we will look into actual translation. Obviously, again, as a startup, you know, small business, we can't do everything at once. We don't have, you know, mounds of money to make this happen, or time or people. But these are all things that we really hope will happen, because not every family or parent looks the same. But no matter where you are, that's still a support network for the child. No matter where you are, however many people live in the house, however few people live in the house, or where you choose to live, whether it be city, country, rural, it doesn't matter. There's someone supporting the child, and we want to make sure we give them the tools so that they can be best supporters in the child's education.
Right. And as an educator, so were you always an educator of fourth grade, or did you kind of bounce around in grade levels?
I actually had only taught fourth grade. I originally started as fourth grade math and science teacher. And because that was kind of my safe zone, right? Teaching reading and writing is a very difficult task. I'll be the first to admit it. I was scared of it as a fourth grade teacher. Mm-hmm. Luckily, by fourth grade, a lot of the basics are usually taken care of. So it gets a little more into reading comprehension and different skills you use with reading, as opposed to just learning how to sound out words and letters. Actually, I was not trained as a teacher. I had a degree in marketing. I worked in the entertainment business for 3 years after I graduated from college.
Oh, wow.
So I basically dropped myself right in a fourth grade classroom in 2005, not knowing anything about teaching fourth grade, but the fact that I was in fourth grade once. And that was when there was such a huge boom in new schools being built in Florida. So they were looking for anyone with a degree to teach. So I went through the process and became certified. And then, of course, I grew into the job and loved it and got my master's and doctorate degree in education. But about 6 years into it, I decided to look into some other options in our school district and ended up being an instructional mentor. So I worked with brand new teachers that were either first or second year, new to our school district. I met one of my other partners, Jamie, as a mentor, and she works with Cohesion now as well. And we had the privilege, really, of training new teachers to be able to be effective managers, communicators, you know, keepers of knowledge to pass on to the kids and parents. So even that whole experience, which I've done the last 6 years, has really helped me prepare to run this company, because we know no matter who your child is assigned as a teacher, they come from different levels of content knowledge. So having that even playing field by our video library being taught by exceptional teachers that we handpick, no matter who your teacher is, you have this as an option, right? This is a option to bounce off of. And in a lot of ways, in this pandemic, we've had a ton of teachers out there utilizing the video library and assigning videos to support whatever else it was they were sending home. And now we have, you know, we've added a lot of new features. You can assign videos, you can just copy and paste a specific lesson in an email and a text using Class Tag or whatever tools you normally use to communicate as a teacher. And we really have seen, well, an explosion of users basically since March. Obviously, when this first hit, it was like the Wild West out there. You know, teachers were like, what are we going to do? Parents are, what are we going to do? And luckily we have a great social media presence, and we were able to get in the hands of a lot of teachers and a lot of parents really quickly.
Right.
But it's really been fascinating to to watch. And we're getting feedback now from parents and teachers about how valuable this was as a support tool to really, again, keep the language of what a teacher uses in the classroom, the vocabulary, the pedagogy, the skills we use as teachers, and just bringing it home so that a parent isn't just completely in the dark and is merely overseeing worksheets or practice work, which is in a lot of cases, that's the role of the parent or the family has been in home and in homework time. And even when we were in traditional school mode, and now it's just, as you know, there's a lot more that you have to be involved in and you have to be a part of what they're learning. And with three kids of your own, Kristen, you know, that's not easy.
I know. I had teachers during this pandemic sending home full day curriculums. So, and I'm like, there are three completely different grade levels. You know, I can't be a teacher to kindergarten level and to fourth grade level and to sixth grade. So I had, you know, kindergarten, fourth grade, and sixth grade.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the sixth grade, now that's, do you plan on doing middle school eventually? I know you guys have your hands full. And like you said, you're a small startup company right now. You have big goals, I'm sure. But do you eventually see this going into like middle school and high school levels as well?
We definitely have thought about it. Middle school is when you start separating out, you know, you have different levels of math, you have different pathways in language arts, and you have all the sciences and social studies. So there's a lot more content. So again, because we're small, right, that's a lot of undertaking. I think we'll probably continue to look and see what other people are doing. And maybe we find another company that has already focused on that market or that audience. And then maybe we align with them in some way, as opposed to just starting from the bottom and trying to rebuild that.
Right.
Because we're a tool for family engagement and empowerment, we also know that parent engagement and empowerment declines as kids get older, because not because parents care less, but because kids become more independent. Mm-hmm. I know you're probably thinking in your head, I couldn't imagine that moment, but that day is going to come, you know, where
I'm hoping
the education and learning of your child will be on them. And
right,
we obviously focused on the grades where we know the engagement level is the highest and the most mm-hmm. in need. But I have no doubt that we're going to find a way, because surely we'll have parents that use us over time, over, you know, multiple grade levels. And if they're used to us, they're going to need something, some kind of support as they go into sixth grade. So that as this, we go through a full year of being open, as a company, which would be next school year, I think we'll start looking for ways we can either guide our parents toward a middle school solution or find a way to supplement that in some way.
I love that.
Thanks. That's a good question, though. Yeah, that's something we've thought about a lot.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, as far as this pandemic goes and everything, do you see some changes being made? Do you see us going to more online education, resources like that? As far as what schools are going to do starting in the fall?
Sure. I mean, anything I'd say right now is speculation, obviously, because you know as well as I do, no firm decisions have been made nationwide, probably even statewide. Maybe a few states have, you know, as they've started easing those regulations and easing the restrictions, I mean, on gatherings and getting people together. When you talk about schools, you're talking about, I'm from a huge school district. Hillsborough County Public Schools in Tampa Bay is huge, eighth biggest in the country. And I know Nashville area is broken up into multiple different school districts, but right in Nashville, it's also pretty large too. It's a massive undertaking to think about how you're going to go from today to being this expected first day of school and the things we associate with the first day of school, like meet the teacher and you know, busing and serving food and making sure kids get there and home safely and all the support people that evolved in school. We're talking from the littlest schools in the country, you know, you're still talking hundreds of people in one place, in one building, you know, any one moment of the day, you walk into a cafeteria at any school in the country, and there's 200 or 300 kids sitting inches from each other,
right?
Which we know right now that can't happen. So as a parent, I would predict that my kids will not go to a traditional, normal, what we consider normal school starting in August. I just don't see how it's there's just not enough time to make those preparations to make it be safe and normal at the same time. As a business owner and an educator and someone who tries to keep his finger on the pulse of what he's hearing around the country,
right,
everyone is in the same boat. We are all thinking, boy, wouldn't it be nice to be back to normal, but knowing full well that the time to be normal is not in August, early August or September. We're a ways away from being able to say, A, it's safe and it's okay to do this, but we're also grasping for ideas. Like, there's literally, as I search and I listen to webinars, and there's just been a ton of great resources out there lately for educators, for parents. You know, it's a lot of great ideas are coming together, but because there's such this overwhelmingly large uncertainty behind the health of everything and the health risks that we're taking, and as you know, in Nashville, I'm sure it's the same. As things start to open up and you go and try to experience that. I went out for my anniversary on Tuesday, and it was the craziest experience I had at a restaurant in my entire life. And I couldn't believe it. And I said, if I'm eating at a restaurant that's usually, you know, packed to the brim on a Saturday night, and I'm here right now and it's like a ghost town, how can we expect a school to be look normal in just a couple months? You know, and we know that as a society, schools being open really like affirms the fact that things are getting back to normal. It's a big part of everyday life, right? Not to mention all the jobs that are revolve around education, school bus drivers, cafeteria workers, custodians, not just the teachers, not just the support people and administrators, but all the people associated with schools. I think it's still going to take a little more time.
Yeah. And the parents being relying on that for partly, you know, half day childcare pretty much in order to do their own jobs as well, whether we're working from home or, you know, back in the offices.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's huge. So we've already seen, because the kids came home, I mean, it was a full 9 weeks at home. And so we've already seen that our parental involvement, we thought we were involved, but our parental involvement in what our children were actually learning and the skills that they were learning was very lacking. So This kind of resource, I mean, it just couldn't have come at a better time, really. But now that parents are getting involved, do you think that there will be a shift in mentality where they feel more connected and want to stay involved and kind of on track with their kid? Do you see that happening with users and everything?
Oh, I have no doubt in my mind from both sides of things, you know, from the education system, from the people involved in education, who now the light's been shined upon parents and family engagement like never before. I mean, every bit of research behind family engagement says roughly the same thing, that the more family engagement you have in their child's learning and education, the better off your child's going to be, no matter. And like we said before, and whatever the type of parenting family life you have, it's important. And now, because of what we've all experienced, We're seeing like, boy, if we arm these parents with the right tools to be there for their kids, look at what we can have here. You know, now we have parents that are, now I wouldn't say forced into being engaged in learning, but They're definitely on the spot, right? You've been put on the spot.
We were forced.
it was a force. But no matter what way you look at it, you had to step up as a parent and try to keep up with what's going on. Mm-hmm. So we do like to use that word empower a lot when we talk about cohesion, because what we really feel we're doing by providing them, and of course we're not giving them everything, but There's something comforting about having that content. We know that in kindergarten through fifth grade, these concepts are taught no matter where you are. They're foundational skills. And like you said before, when you were in second grade and I was in second grade, not only can we not remember what we learned during that time, because life just goes on and you forget. You know you learned something that got you to today,
right,
that you learned in second grade, but it's not something that we know comprehensively,
mm-hmm,
right? So having this library of every concept, you know, in math, reading and writing, like I said, the foundational subject areas, seeing it laid out there in short, because we don't have time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Short five to seven minute videos roughly is our average. Each of those concepts, you can really be not only just knowledgeable and in a place where you can understand what it is that they should be learning, but you can actually, you know, look at both sides of the child's, the grade your child's in, and really see where they're going with it and where they, what they should have learned to get to this point. And really it's all there. It's all there. It only gets more difficult when you get into those fifth grades, because we don't have beyond that. But we really think that putting this in the hands of, mm-hmm, of parents, and if we might not have a traditional fall or a traditional school year in the upcoming year, even if teachers have this in their hands and they have the ability to use it in conjunction with what other learning they're sending home, or they're emailing to you guys if they're not sending it home, that they'll have a parent will have that tool, and we'll all kind of start speaking the same language and using the same vocabulary, so that you do feel more empowered and less just there in a forced position monitoring what work your kids are doing. You know, you're really taking ownership of it.
Right. Well, and it's kind of interesting too, because as adults, I feel like the path to education, in the fact that so many of us either pivot careers or change careers altogether, or just want to dive a little bit deeper into the current career that we're working in, so much of us are getting our education through online courses,
mm-hmm,
as adults. So do you see, kind of, if we were to find a way to pivot more, maybe it's just half and half, because I feel like human connection, especially in elementary years, is really important.
Absolutely.
But do you think it could better prepare these children to grow up in a different age than what we grew up in? I mean, we see so many more online courses now being taken than ever before.
Well, Kristen, I mean, you know as well as I do from talking before we started about our own children, that we're asking this as adults, right? And we're asking this question, and it makes perfect sense. But they're so immersed in this world of online learning. I don't think anything I could tell my 7-year-old right now about something I found on the internet would surprise or impress them in any way. They literally, no matter how we try to shelter them from the bad that's out there or the scary that's out there, they're already immersed in this world, whether we like it or not. And learning and gaining a knowledge on any one topic or experiencing any one thing, they've already figured out how to do it with devices without our having to pass on those skills.
Right.
So to me, it's natural for the kids. It's us parents, us adults that really, yeah, we've grown with it in the last, you know, 10, 15 years. And it's fantastic. I mean, the amount of resources out there is phenomenal. But I think it's really, the learning curve has been steeper for us adults than the kids. Other than that personal connection, I don't think they would be that disappointed or shocked. And I think they'll be resilient enough that they bounce back and find a way to make it work for them and their learning. It's the rest of us adults that really have to step up and really get used to experiencing it that way.
Right. So you don't see it hurting their education necessarily, as far as if we have to pivot to that a little bit.
Well, there's definitely going to be gaps. There's no doubt in my mind, because when you're used to one thing for so long and you make a shift, no matter what, whether school's closed or whether it's being taught a different way, there's a learning curve in there for everyone. When you're just on a single plane and you're doing something one way and then it goes away, there's going to be gaps. Just like every year at summertime, we call it the summer slide. When kids stop school in June and don't start till August, it's going to reverse in a little bit, no matter what, just because we're doing other things. We're going on vacation. We're doing fun things with our family. We're playing at the pool. And that's okay. That's normal. That's what we've been used to. And we, as teachers and educators, have spent a lot of time preparing for that summer slide in August. We know that we have to go back and teach skills from the year before because there's going to be that gap, right? Or there's summer school and things like that for the kids that maybe were even farther behind and might need a little more boost, right? So, yeah, there's definitely still going to be a gap. I really hope that we work together as business owners, as parents, as educators, and really do our best to make the best of what situation we're going to be in the fall, and know that, accept that there's going to be some gaps, and just as a country, you know, we do our best to bounce back from things, you know, and as a society in general, because this is affecting everybody, right?
Right.
This is not just America, not just our states. So,
Yes. One of the neat things I saw once the pandemic kind of really hit America was, it was interesting to see Italian mothers sharing their experiences with having the kids home and the shift and everything they went through with their own children, and giving American mothers advice. It was just kind of really neat to see that global connection right there. And as far as education goes with, you know, post pandemic, I know you work with a lot of homeschool families. So do you see a big difference or any type of maybe either benefit or negative effect from children who are educated in a smaller or zero peer group, you know, like not sitting next to a classmate? Do you see any type of reason that having classmates is going to help their education or hurt their education?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think what gets hurt the most, and you said it already, Kristen, was that social interaction. That's just a need, you know, as humans. We need some kind of social interaction, and we need support of our peers. We need to have mm-hmm. be out there with people and talking with other people as adults or kids. I think that it's hard to put one simple answer on that because every learner is different, fortunately or unfortunately. So just in my own experience as a teacher, I know there were some kids that I, as a teacher, had to really spend that one-on-one time, small group time with, just because that's how they learn best. And there were other kids that I could go several days without checking in with them, and they'll still be ahead of the pack, right? So I think as parents, we need to really try to get to understand our kids as learners and how they learn best. And I think we've probably seen a little bit of that about what works at home, right? Even if we're not, haven't traditionally been a homeschool parent, we've seen a little bit about how our kids learn maybe that we didn't know right. before. I know I learned a lot about my mm-hmm. two kids, and I know that they seem to do a lot better with someone else as their teacher than me. and I'm a teacher, right. and my wife's a teacher, and we both agree that they sure do a better job when they're not with us. But we love them. We love them nonetheless. And we know that we're learning from this too, you know, this right. experience. And we've done our best with neighborhood kids to get our kids out there and be around other kids, you know, within safety, of course. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the biggest difference is we're going to have to find ways to bring the kids together somehow, because even if it's from a distance, I think they do need that. Of course, they found ways to talk to people on the tablets and the phones and all that, which is, you know, kind of like what we do as adults. But mm-hmm. I still think there is some need there.
Right.
I think with over time, we'll find ways to adapt and adapt to the change.
Right. Is there any type of improvements, you know, on the topic of like American education that you would like to see be made either in the school system or at home? What kind of improvements do you think that we could be making?
Well, I mean, I think both as a parent and as a business owner and as an employee of a school district, again, I've seen the light shined on the value of family engagement and family empowerment and that support network they have at home. And I think with budgets and with the way that money is spent on education and the way that we focus our energy within and outside of the system, that is very, very low on the list of priorities. I mean, it's a very small part of most budgets. It's very, it's almost, I hate to say it, it feels like it's almost forgotten in a lot of ways that you have this amazing resource that a kid is with several more hours a day after they leave your school. And we don't do a whole lot other than trying to get them involved. We like to say, you know, there's a big difference between parent involvement and engagement and empowerment. Those are three different, very different things. And getting them involved might be bringing them out to the school for spaghetti night or pizza night or movie night or math night, you know, even with an educational focus. But again, that's all bringing them into the school, which I don't discount it. It's still very important, but those are just events. Those are one-off things throughout the year. And that's where we usually, as a school system, spend our time and money in getting parents into the school, when being able to send them the tools, like through our video library, a school can get a package and be able to have all of the parents in their school covered with access to our video library by giving them that they can use all school year. To me, that is something that's going to pay off in dividends way beyond what you get from getting 25% of your parents in for a spaghetti night to talk about reading test scores. I think something like this experience really shines a light on that value of the family. And I think I hope that we start seeing a shift in some priorities as far as funding goes into that area.
All right. So if we want to check out some of the videos and kind of play around and see if this is something that, you know, individual parents or even teachers, where can we find you and what's the best way to kind of explore your program?
Sure. So we're cohesioned.com is our main website. You can get right into registration from there. Right now, we have a free code that's going to be there through August 1st, at least. And that you're welcome to test it out as a parent or as a teacher. It'll pre-fill in information so that when you go to register, it won't like go into a billing mode or anything like that. We also, and you can, I'm sure, share this through your channels, Kristen, but we have a link that skips the main homepage and goes right to the registration with it pre-filled in. And that's bit.ly/cohesionedfree. And I'll send that to you as well. And of course, we're on every social media platform, Cohesion Education or Cohesion Ed, one or the other. You'll find us on any one of your favorite social media platforms. We also have a YouTube channel, which we have some videos already picked out. Like, we picked our favorites of each grade so that you can kind of just see what our videos look like. So there's a video for at least a math and a language arts. So that would be either writing or reading for each grade. So you can kind of see a sample. You can test out your Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader skills on our main website right now, because we have what we think are one of the more challenging videos of each of the grade levels in math. So you can test them out and see if you've picked up enough along the way that you can be able to handle each one of those, what we think are tougher concepts.
I love that. Yeah, I remember probably the beginning of fifth grade, my daughter came home and I had helped her with her homework the night before. And she's like, "Mom, every single question you helped me with was wrong." She said, "Two of them I had the right answer in the beginning and you made me change it." And I was like, "Oh no, I am completely out of touch with fifth grade." So I really, it's a great resource. I love it. I think it's going to be really helpful to a lot of families.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And our kids, these little ones especially, they're looking up to us. So when they ask us, "How do I do this, Mom?" And I say, "I don't know." And they have to say, "Siri, how do I do this?" I'm like, "Oh man, you know, here, there goes my superhero cape to my kids." So.
Yes, we're here to help. you as an adult too, not just as a parent, right? we want to make sure you can handle the real world.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for talking with me about this today and about your story. This has been really informative.
Thanks, Kristen. Thanks for having me on here. And like you said, also, we want to empower them. We want to make sure that they feel, you as mom, me as dad, like we want to feel like we can help them and we're not just, you know, passing the buck on to someone else. You know, it's nice to feel that we have the content, we can understand it, so we can help.
Thank you so much, Jim, for joining me today. And a huge thanks to the Cohesion Education team for providing this resource for free right now, as we are all on pins and needles to see what our education system looks like this fall. But whether the students are back to full-time school or we adjust to a part-time schedule, it is still so important that our kids are getting support at home to lead them into early educational success. So I encourage you to go check out cohesioned.com. And for notes on this episode, visit kyamis.com or go over to the One Heard Facebook group to share your thoughts with us. I hope that you all have a beautiful day, and remember, together we are all one heard, and everyone deserves to be heard. Sending you all llama love from my art studio in Nashville, Tennessee, this is Kristen Yamas.